Hello and welcome to the Simply Wall Street Market Insights. My name's Michael, and this week we'll be going over part 10 of our Big Trends series. We're now 10 weeks in, and this week we're having a look at two very closely related industries, and they are 1. Gaming, and 2. Virtual and augmented reality. The first is one of the oldest technology sectors around, and the second, well, it seems to be perpetually on the verge of takeoff. Let's have a look at how these industries have evolved, the applications of VR and AR, and how to invest in these industries if you're interested in them. But before we get started, here's our quote of the week. The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. Eleanor Roosevelt. Now, let's dive in. Gaming, a lucrative entertainment industry. Video games have now been an important part of the tech industry for over 50 years. In fact, Atari was one of the first Silicon Valley startups. Gaming has also provided the revenue that funded the development of key technologies that were later adopted by other industries. Many of the components that went into the first personal computers were developed for gaming consoles and arcade games. 3D graphics, GPUs, and virtual reality have followed a very similar pattern. Where would AI be now without those GPUs? It's anyone's guess. So gaming is not a new trend, yet it continues to grow and evolve as technology allows. It's also a key driver of development of the metaverse and Web 3.0. In 2023, the global gaming industry is estimated to generate between $188 billion and $396 billion in revenue. While I know that's a huge range, estimates differ based on your definition of gaming revenue. They've grown at around 11 to 15% annually over the last 5 years, which is impressive. Gaming is now a far larger industry than the global music and filmmaking industries. In fact, this has been the case for quite a while. The chart in the article shows how global gaming revenue compared to movies and music combined in 2019, and this was prior to the pandemic, which, as you may have expected, caused the gap to widen even further. Now let's move on to gaming's evolution. From arcades to smartphones. Gaming is a constantly evolving industry. It started with arcade games, which gave way to consoles and PCs, then handheld devices, which gave way to mobile phones. Interestingly enough, global gaming revenue began to accelerate in 2007, the year the iPhone was launched. Business models within the industry have also changed. While sales of consoles and games used to account for nearly all the industry's revenue, mobile gaming now generates 50% of all revenue via in-app transactions and advertising. One of the reasons for this is that casual and social games, which dominate on mobile, have broadened the gaming market from just those hardcore gamers, which is likely hundreds of millions globally with consoles and PCs, to over 3 billion mobile phone users. Some new areas of growth include esports and sports betting. Esports has turned gaming into a competitive sport, bringing with it everything associated with competitive team sports. That means tournaments, advertising, team ownership, arenas, and yes, even doping scandals. Sports betting has gained momentum since the US Supreme Court ended a federal ban on sports betting in 2018. Since then, more than half of the US states have allowed betting on sports, with more expected to follow. It may seem that the gaming industry is saturated, but it seems to continually evolve, finding new platforms, audiences, and revenue streams. Now, let's look at the economics of games versus movies. Investment in the creation of games can be a much more profitable investment than other entertainment, like cinema. Here's some examples of the best financial performances to give you some context. 1. Rockstar Games, owned by Take-Two Interactive. The company reportedly spent $265 million to create Grand Theft Auto V, and in the first 3 days after its launch, it generated $1 billion in sales. Since launch, it has reportedly generated $7.7 billion in sales from over 180 million copies being sold. That's an estimated ROI of 29 times their original investment. Now, keep in mind, this excludes ongoing development costs, which are not high, and it excludes additional revenue generated from in-game transactions, which are very high, in the hundreds of millions of dollars per year, according to Take-Two Interactive's financial reports. 2. Minecraft. Indie games can have even higher ROIs. The cost to create Minecraft was the time of one solo developer who built it outside of a day job. Minecraft became the best-selling game of all time, selling over 230 million copies. It generated roughly $3 billion in sales between 2012 and 2020. The studio was bought by Microsoft in 2014 for $2.5 billion. The ROI for Marcus Persson, the creator, is huge, considering he became a billionaire from the game. 3. Let's compare this to Avatar. The film cost $237 million to make in 2009 and grossed $2.9 billion at the box office. While a 12x return isn't bad, it pales in comparison to the money made in games. Now, that's not to say that there isn't plenty of money to be made in the movie industry. In the article, we have a link to some of the most profitable movies of all time. But what makes video games different from an investment perspective? There's a few reasons why video games have the potential to provide such great returns on investment. 1. Development teams are cheaper to hire than Hollywood actors. Yes, large AAA titles will have budgets comparable to Hollywood movies, but there are commonly small development studios that can see great commercial success in the gaming industry. We've previously mentioned the success of Minecraft, but BattleBit Remastered is a recent example which has sold 1.8 million copies thanks to the dedication of a 3-person development team. 2. Modern video games are living and breathing entities. Bad movies will always be bad movies. Once a movie hits the silver screen, there's nothing more to be done than await the verdict of critics. On the other hand, video games can receive post-launch updates and expansions that can reinvigorate interest in a game. No Man's Sky is a famous example that received harsh criticism on launch, but has managed to receive widespread acclaim through updates and expansions. 3. Video games are perfect for post-launch monetization. After theatrical release, movies have limited avenues to earn ongoing revenue. Merchandise and royalties from streaming platforms are great ways to keep the revenue flowing, but audiences often have little interaction after the initial 2 to 3 hour watch period. However, video games can often capture the attention of players for 50 plus hours, increasing the likelihood of a player spending money in microtransactions for in-game cosmetics, expansions, and mechanics, which can result in strong revenue even years after the release of the game. Merchandising is still a viable avenue for games as well, when you consider Pokemon is the highest grossing media franchise in the world with over $80 billion in licensed merchandise sales. Now, let's move on to virtual and augmented reality. The potential for virtual and augmented reality has been the subject of successive waves of optimism for years, and most recently when the concept of the metaverse dominated the financial media. But so far, it's never quite lived up to the hype. In the article, we have a chart which is a fairly recent projection for growth of the industry. But if you go back 5 or 10 years and look at the forecast at that time, you'll see that current revenue is less than half of what it was expected to be. The industry always seems to be on the cusp of takeoff, but it never quite happens. While AR/VR tech may seem like a very recent step forward, the idea of head-mounted displays, HMDs, augmenting your reality have been around for nearly 30 years, with iterations including the Fort VFX1 headgear or Nintendo's Virtual Boy from 1995. Oculus, which initially started its life as a Kickstarter campaign in August of 2012, reignited global tech's interest in the space and was acquired by Meta, then Facebook, for $2 billion in 2014. The various applications for VR and AR. Right now, the technology is still confined to niche applications and the 20-odd million Oculus headset owners. But it might be more widely used than you think. Here are just a few of the real-world current applications of AR/VR technology. 1. Gaming. The technology's original use cases continues to be the main driving force behind the annual sales for hardware. The usual suspects of Sony and Meta are continually making advancements in the VR gaming offerings with the PSVR 2 and the Oculus. 2. Retail. AR is gaining traction in retail and e-commerce, where it allows customers to try before they buy. For example, Etsy and other marketplaces for art and furniture use AR to allow customers to visualize products in their home. Fashion retailers are using similar solutions to allow online customers to try on clothing virtually. 3. Real estate and construction. Both AR and VR are now widely used for marketing in real estate, construction, architecture, and travel. 4. Manufacturing and design. Virtual reality is gaining widespread use in the manufacturing industry for prototyping and design. This is particularly helpful for capital-intensive industries like the auto and aerospace industries. It's also used to design and test new factories and production lines. This can be done using both non-immersive VR, i.e. 3D models on a computer screen, and fully immersive 3D environments. 5. Training. Various iterations of VR have been used to train airline pilots for decades. As the technology becomes more accessible and affordable, it's being used to train people in more industries including healthcare, law enforcement, and defense. As the cost of VR hardware falls, it may also be used to gamify education at all levels. Now, let's talk about what catalysts could lead to an acceleration for the industry. The commercial applications for both AR and VR should see the industry continue to grow at similar rates to the last few years. An acceleration would probably require widespread adoption amongst consumers, which in turn will require one or two catalysts. Firstly, there needs to be content that draws people in. Right now, most consumers probably don't feel like they are missing out, and that's unlikely to change until there's decent content, games, or entertainment that offers a significantly better experience than the existing options. And two, the second catalyst is likely to be the price of the headset. Meta's Quest 2 is $300, and Apple's Vision Pro is going to be $3,500, both of which are out of reach for most people. As was the case with mobile phones and IoT devices, lower prices would likely result in more widespread adoption. Now, let's talk about investing in gaming, AR, and VR. There's a lot of overlap when it comes to companies operating in gaming, AR, VR, and the metaverse. As you would expect, many of the same companies keep coming up across multiple technology trends. It's no surprise to see that the largest tech companies, including Meta, Alphabet, Microsoft, Apple, and Nvidia, have substantial exposure to these industries. When it comes to gaming, we can even add Tencent to this list. Besides these companies, there are well-known game publishers and gaming hardware companies, including Sony, Nintendo, Electronic Arts, Take-Two Interactive, and Corsair. The Simply Wall Street Top Video Game Stock Collection includes a few more examples. When it comes to sport betting, the major players are DraftKings, Penn Entertainment, and UK-based Flutter Entertainment. There are a few listed esports companies, but they are significantly smaller and investors should exercise extreme caution. The leading software used to create virtual worlds comes from companies like Roblox, Unity, and Adobe. Less well-known companies include Immersion, which develops haptic technology, which makes devices vibrate in various ways, and Ansys Inc., which provides simulation software. Another is Matterport, which provides solutions to create digital replicas of physical spaces. Now, let's see what else is happening in the market. First, a recap of the key data releases we mentioned last week. 1. US consumer inflation rose slightly more than expected in August. CPI rose 0.6% in August compared to 0.2% last month and estimates of 0.5%. Prices rose 3.7% in the last 12 months, up from 3.2% in the year to July. While the price index rose during the month, it was broadly in line with what economists expected, namely inflation stabilizing above the 3% level. Investors still expect the Fed to keep rates at the current level next week. 2. UK GDP contracted by 0.5% in July, which was more than the expected 0.2% contraction. Manufacturing and industrial output fell the most, resulting in the economy erasing June's gains. 3. UK unemployment rose from 4.2% to 4.3% in August. However, wages rose more than expected and claimants rose less than expected. This is just one data point, but higher wages could make the Bank of England's job way more difficult despite the stagnant economy. And then, a few news items that we thought were worth noting. 1. Disney and Charter Communications ended their standoff over streaming bundles. Disney had pulled channels, including ESPN, from Charter's cable service over a dispute on how Charter distributes its content and how much Disney receives. Charter wanted to offer its customers cheaper bundles that excluded the premium packages like ESPN. The deal is a compromise, allowing Charter to offer bundles with 19 channels instead of 27. It also allows Charter to become a distributor of Disney's streaming services. Both companies are in a tough position. Cable companies are losing customers to streaming platforms, while Disney still earns $2.2 billion from Charter, which it doesn't want to lose. Ben Thompson wrote a great analysis on the future of these relationships. 2. The EU is considering imposing tariffs on imports of Chinese EVs that benefit from state subsidies, pending an investigation into the industry. The investigation targets EVs manufactured in China, which could also affect non-Chinese brands like Tesla. The Commission has given itself 13 months to investigate the situation, so we can expect a year of rhetoric before anything actually happens. Now here's the key events during next week. It's Fed Funds Week, with the US Central Bank's Monetary Policy Committee meeting to decide on their next move. The Fed Funds rate will be announced on Wednesday, and is expected to remain at the current range of 5.25 to 5.5%. In the UK, the inflation rate will be published on Wednesday, and the Bank of England's interest rate decision will be announced on Thursday. UK retail sales are also due on Friday. In Japan, the inflation rate and interest rate decision will be released on Friday. It's mostly smaller companies that are still reporting in the US, but there are a few larger ones, including AutoZone, FedEx, KB Home, General Mills, and FactSet. That's all for this week's Market Insights. Thank you so much for listening. And until next week, invest well. Simply Wall Street analyst Richard Bowman and Simply Wall Street have no position in any of the companies mentioned. This article is general in nature. We provide analysis based on historical data and analyst forecasts only, using an unbiased methodology, and our articles are not intended to be financial advice. It does not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any stock and does not take into account your objectives or your financial situation. We aim to bring you long-term focused analysis driven by fundamental data. Note that our analysis may not factor in the latest price-sensitive company announcements or qualitative material.